God is good all the time. Psalm 107, starting in verse 1, says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south." The Lord is good, and his love does endure forever. The theme of Psalm 107 is right here in the opening verses. God, who is good and loving, demonstrates his great love by rescuing or redeeming people from all over the world and gathering them together. Many study Bibles and commentaries say that this psalm is celebrating the return of the exiles from Babylon. I don't think, though, when I look at it, that I see that it's that specific. For one thing, it never claims to be about the return of the exiles from Babylon. And for another, its focus seems to be much bigger and more general. This psalm tells us that God is gathering people from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north. And then, depending on your Bible translation, you might have a footnote or it might be in the text. The Hebrew actually says, from the sea. So Psalm 107 is about God's great rescue of people from all over the world and even from overseas. And that's good news for us because from the psalmist's perspective, we are overseas. Now this psalm or song, it has an introduction, it has four stanzas, and it has a repeated chorus, and then it has a conclusion or a bridge. It's definitely a song. And today, we're going to focus on the main body of the psalm. So that's the four stanzas that contain four examples of the sort of people that God, in his love, rescues, and the way that God, in his love, rescues them. So in verse 4, we read, "Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no city to dwell in." And in verses 4 through 9, the psalm describes people completely lost in the desert, starving and dehydrated and dying. And these lost, dying people cry to the Lord for help. And the Lord leads them out of the desert to a city where they are safe and full and satisfied. And then in verses 10 through 12, we read, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed down their hearts with hard labor. They fell down with none to help." These suffering, stumbling, seemingly abandoned prisoners cried to the Lord, and the Lord busts them out of prison. Verses 17 through 18, we read, "Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death." These people did stupid, rebellious, sinful stuff that was bad for them, and then suffered the natural consequences of their actions. They got sick. Maybe they contracted diseases. They were so sick they couldn't eat, and they were about to die. And they cried to the Lord, and he saved their lives and healed them. And in verses 23 through 27, we see the last group. "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters." And these merchants, these businessmen, faced a horrible, terrible storm, and they cried to the Lord, and he stopped the wind and the waves and brought them safely to their destination. Now, it is possible, I suppose, that the psalmist has in mind people that he knows of who God rescued from being lost in the desert, or suffering in jail cells, or dying from diseases, or drowning in a storm at sea. Now, certainly, if you have experienced any of those things and God has brought you out, you should thank God for his goodness and his love. But more likely, These four examples are meant to show us what we are like and what God is like. Specifically, this psalm shows us what sort of people cry out to God to rescue them and how God responds to their cries for help. And since on the Emmaus Road, Jesus said that the Psalms are intended to teach us about Jesus, we can see that this psalm is a great testimony to how our good and loving God is saving people all over the world through Jesus. So let's take a closer look at each of those four cases. First of all, God rescues lost people. Psalm 107, starting in verse 4, says, "Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no city to dwell in, no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them." According to the Bible, every human being starts life lost. According to Isaiah 53:6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Beginning way back with Adam and Eve, we have said, "I don't want someone else to tell me what to do and how to live. I will find my own way." We've rebelled against God and wandered off into spiritual wilderness. Many people don't even realize that they're lost. They don't realize that they're starving spiritually. They don't know how close they are to death and eternal damnation. They don't understand how desperate their situation is. On the other hand, many people do have a sense that they're lost. They're asking questions. They're nagging questions. What is life about? Why am I here? Is there any meaning in all of this? And so they try to find their own way. They try to supply their own answers. They look for meaning in false religions or in spirituality or in seeking pleasure or in just trying to be a good person. But these things might as well be mirages in the desert. And the benefits that they supply might as well be sand and tumbleweeds. The spiritually lost person who turns anywhere other than to God through Jesus is still lost and thirsty and in terrible danger. But there is great news in verses 6 through 9. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." All people without God are lost and without hope. But by the grace of God, a lost person may come to see how lost they are and how thirsty they are and how they are starving and how they are close to death. And that desperate, dying person may cry out to God, "Save me." The word for cry here, when I hear cry out to God, I think of a loud voice. I found out as I studied the word cry means a scream or a shriek of desperation. This is the cry of someone who knows they need help. And what does God do when he hears that desperate cry? Does he say, "You stupid person, you went and got yourself lost, so find your own way"? Does he say, "I told you so. You deserve to starve to death"? No. He leads them to safety, to a city. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. How does that work? Is it like that person is all alone, wandering in the desert, and they're lost, they're all alone, spiritual lostness, and finally they realize they need the Lord, and they cry out for salvation, and it's like the bat signal. God says, look, Jesus, someone needs our help. Is that how it works? No. The person, the lost person who cries out to God for salvation didn't just realize on his or her own that they needed Jesus. If we were left to ourselves, we would continue in our lostness until it's too late. Thank God, Jesus Christ told us in Luke 19:10 that he came to seek and to save the lost. The lost person who cries out for rescue does so because Jesus has sought him out, even in his lostness. The Holy Spirit has opened his eyes so he can see how he is empty and how desperate his situation is. And the Holy Spirit has given him a desire and strength to cry out for help. Do you know the amazing lengths that Jesus went to save lost people? Though he was God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born as a human being. God created human beings with a purpose and a place. We were made to display his glory, to show his greatness. And starting from Eden, where human beings walked with God, we were intended to spread his glory all over all the earth. But Adam and Eve and all of us afterward thought we would rather live for our own glory. We thought we'd be better off deciding for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. We fell short of the glory of God and we wandered off into a spiritual wasteland. And we didn't just wander off. We rejected God as king over us. We rejected his good rule and his good purposes, and we went our own way on purpose. It wasn't an accident. And so, as prideful, sinful, wayward rebels, we deserve God's wrath against our sins. According to the Bible, we deserve to suffer God's burning wrath for eternity in hell. But God is rich in mercy. He loved us with great love. About 2,000 years ago, he sent his son Jesus, his only begotten son, God in flesh appearing, to live the perfect life that we could not live, the perfect life that we would not live. Jesus, God's promised king, lived only ever for God's glory. He did nothing wrong, and he deserved only glory and honor. But sinful people like you and like me did not want Jesus to be king over us. Jesus was arrested and condemned to death, and he was obedient to God the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus went to the cross on purpose to seek and to save the lost. On the cross, Jesus suffered the wrath of God that we deserve for our sinfulness. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He bore the punishment for our sins, for our rebellion, as he shed his blood on the cross. When Jesus was died, he was buried. But on the third day, he had paid the price for our sins. Death could no longer hold him. And up from the grave he arose. He had conquered sin, the devil, and death. Are you lost? Do you want to be found? The good news is that Jesus died to rescue lost people like you. Anyone who puts his trust in Jesus, anyone who puts their trust in Jesus is no longer lost, but found. You don't have to find your own way in order for Jesus to rescue you. You don't have to be a good enough person and get your act together. You can't earn Jesus' salvation. You can't be so good that he will decide you're worth saving. What you need to do is admit that you are lost and starving and thirsty and doomed unless someone saves you. So cry out to Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Whoever trusts in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, for your wandering and rebellion, then God counts your sins as paid for on the cross. And he counts Jesus' righteousness and goodness as if it was yours. Whoever trusts in Jesus is forgiven and made new, a new creation with new life, eternal life. Jesus rescues lost people. Jesus leads them to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Jesus fills them with the water of life and with the bread of heaven. He satisfies starving people with what they need. Not just with good things, but with the source of every good thing. He satisfies them with God himself. Are you lost? You'll never find the right way until you cry out to Jesus. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Nothing and no one other than Jesus can satisfy your longings. Cry out to Jesus in your trouble, and he will deliver you from your distress. Jesus rescues lost people. Let's look at the next section. Starting in verse 10, we read, "Some sat in darkness and in deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help." These people are rebels. They knew God's word. They knew his counsel. They knew what he said was right and wrong. But they decided that they knew better than God. They thought they understood how things work and how things should work better than the Most High. They thought they would be like God, deciding for themselves what was right and what was wrong. Why would anyone think that they know better than God? Why would anybody despise the counsel of the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God of the universe? Who would be so reckless and so rebellious? Well, I'll tell you who. Adam, Eve, every single one of their descendants, except one. All of us rebelled against the words of God. All of us despised the counsel of the Most High. With Adam's sin, pain and suffering entered the world. And because of sin, the whole world is groaning under a curse. Not only is the world as a whole suffering because of our rebellion, but individual people are trapped and imprisoned by their sin. Proverbs 5:22 says, "The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast." A person who wants to be free of God becomes a slave to sin. Sin brings suffering and death. According to this psalm, God specifically causes those who rebel against him to suffer. God himself subjects people to bitter labor. Why does he do that? Well, I think we'll find out why when we see what happens when we cry to him for help. Starting in verse 13, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. When, by God's grace, someone realizes that they are trapped and dying in the deathly prison of their sin, and when they cry out to God, what does he do? Does he say, "You want help from me? You rebelled against my words. You despised my counsel. And now you come to me for help? Help yourself, rebel." Is that what he says? No. In his love, God doesn't just walk into that prison with the key and say, "Well, I guess I'll let you out." God attacks that prison with a bulldozer and a sawzall. He shatters the door and cuts through the bars of iron, it says. He leads the captives out of darkness and deepest gloom. Jesus said that he is the one who sets captives free. In Luke 4, 17 through 21, he said that Isaiah prophesied about him when he wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Are you a prisoner because of your sinful rebellion? Are you trapped in sin and the death and the suffering that it brings? What can you do? Can New Year's resolutions set you free? Having a positive attitude, can that bring you out of darkness? Can trying harder to be a good person set you free? The prison gates are bronze. The bars are iron. You can't save yourself. You need a rescuer. You need a redeemer, a savior. If you don't know Jesus, and you've realized that you're imprisoned in your sin and your guilt and your fear, and it seems like you have stumbled and fallen and there is no one to help, I have great news. According to Romans 5:10, Jesus died to save his enemies. Jesus died to set captives free. So cry out to Jesus. He came to proclaim liberty to captives. He'll bust you out of prison. I use that word on purpose because I like it, because that's what God's doing. Breaking down the doors, cutting through the bars. He'll set you free and bring you out of darkness and into his glorious light. He'll set you free from the power of sin and the fear of death. The psalm continues in verse 17. Starting in verse 17, "Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death." Well, in the last section, the emphasis was on God bringing suffering and captivity into the lives of those who rebel against him. In this section, the emphasis seems to be on the natural consequences of our rebellion. According to verse 17, people who start out as rebels become fools. And that makes sense if you think about it. If you think you know better than the words of God, than the counsel of the Most High, then what are you? You are indeed a fool. And what do you know that God doesn't know? We human beings with our tiny little brains know just a little tiny bit more than nothing. And we think that we are wiser and smarter than the God who designed our brains and every single thing in the universe, from the smallest subatomic particle to the largest galaxies. What fools we are. But rebels against God are not only fools because they overestimate their own intelligence and wisdom, they are fools because they do things over and over and over and over that they know will hurt them. Rebelling against God or sinning leads naturally to all kinds of consequences. For instance, sin leads to broken marriages and broken families, to trouble at work, to trouble with the law, to fights and wars. Sin leads to drunk driving accidents and assault charges and prison terms. And sin can lead to sickness. Sin can lead to all sorts of mental and emotional problems. It can lead to physical sickness. For instance, the sin of lust can lead to STDs. Drunkenness can lead to liver damage. Gluttony can lead to a whole host of ailments. Sin leads to guilt and pain and brokenness and sickness and suffering. And yet, what do rebels do? Keep on sinning. What fools? Well, there's no hope for fools, right? And clearly those who are suffering the consequences of their sins are just reaping what they've sown, getting what they deserve, right? Well, maybe by God's grace, you are realizing that you are one of those rebellious fools that this psalm is talking about. Maybe you're seeing that all the pain and the suffering that sin has brought into your life, and you're realizing that this is exactly what I should have expected. This is exactly what I deserve. Maybe you think, I've messed everything up so badly that I am unsavable and I am unlovable. God might rescue lost people because they are just lost. He might rescue some people from prison because he's the kind of God who rescues people, but I'm not worth saving. I deserve this suffering. I deserve the consequences, and I deserve for God to be angry at me. There's no hope for me. If that is you, then I have great news. Jesus said in Mark 2:17, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. If you know that whatever you are suffering is your own fault, and that you are suffering what you deserve, then take heart. There is a great physician who heals sick, unrighteous sinners. He can heal broken hearts and broken bodies. And for those who cry out to him, he will eventually do both. But more importantly, he heals sin-sick souls. Sin itself is like a disease, and it leads definitely to death. Jesus, the world's best doctor, suffered on the cross the ultimate consequences of your foolish rebellion and of mine. He took the wrath of God for sick sinners like us. And because of that, he can make anyone well who cries to him for help. He died and rose again to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you are sick with sin, cry out to Jesus. He will not turn you away. He came to heal the sick. Let verses 19 through 22 be true of you. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. The last of the four main sections is verses 23 through 32. Verse 23 says, some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. What's happening in this passage? These are merchants. They're business people. They go out to conduct business. And in this case, they are sailing out on the sea. The passage suggests that they are self-confident, trusting in their own intelligence, their own business smarts, their skill at sailing. They think they have things under control. So look what God does next. Verse 24, they saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised up the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. God interrupts their business plans with something far outside their ability to plan for, to control, or to deal with. He tells the wind, blow on that sea, and he tells the waves, rise up, stand up, he says literally, and what do? They obey. And suddenly the merchants with their plans and their skills and their abilities are riding a helpless vessel up the crest of the waves toward heaven and plunging down in the troughs toward the depths. They thought they were courageous, but now their courage melts away. They thought that they were self-possessed and in control, but now they reel and stagger like drunken men. They thought they were clever, but now they're at their wits' end. God, by his wondrous works, has proven to them that they are not in control. And that is a good thing. Because what do? When they realize that they're helpless? Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. In his grace, God showed these business people that they were not in control. In his grace, God showed them that he was in control. By his grace, they came to realize their utter helplessness. And like all the others in this psalm, by his grace, they cried to the Lord, and he rescued them. I hope that when you hear this passage, you immediately think of Jesus. In Mark 4, we learn that there was a time when a great windstorm arose on the Sea of Galilee. The waves were breaking into the boat in which Jesus and the disciples were sailing. The disciples were panicking, but Jesus was, what? Sleeping. They cried out to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What'd they do? They cried to the Lord. And he woke up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now who was that sleeping in the boat? That was Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Lord of heaven and earth. Why wasn't Jesus afraid of the wind and the waves? Because he controls them. He made them. He controls the wind and the waves. According to Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1, Jesus is holding all things together and sustaining the universe by the word of his power. Jesus wasn't afraid of the storm because it was his storm. It was Jesus' power that raised the wind and the waves and brought the disciples to the point of crying out for help. And then by his great power, Jesus got up and said, Down, boy! And the storm obeyed him. What does that mean for you and me? Well, too many of us foolish human beings trust in ourselves. We trust that we're good enough, we're smart enough, and doggone it, people like us. We have our plans. We have our skills. We think maybe we don't really need anyone or anything. And sometimes a person can be lost and imprisoned and sick and not know it. In her mind, she has it all together. Maybe life's a little tricky, but she can handle it. She doesn't need God. She doesn't need religion. She doesn't need any crutch or any charity. She can take care of herself. But God, in his grace, can take everything away in a moment. He can tell the winds to blow and the waves to stand up, and her whole world can come crashing down in an instant. Maybe God, in his grace, in his love, has done that in your life. You thought you had life under control, but now maybe you've lost a job, or lost your health, or lost your spouse or someone else that you love. Maybe you've had a financial disaster or a mental breakdown. Maybe you've suddenly found yourself with crippling anxiety or depression. Maybe you are terrified. Maybe you feel like life is out of control. Maybe you're at your wit's end. By God's grace, cry out to Jesus. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has authority over the wind and the waves and the hearts of kings and of presidents and bosses, the stock market, the lives and deaths of those you love, and over your health and your finances and your mental state. If he's brought you to the point where you realize that you cannot really control much of anything, either in the world, outside, or in your heart, then you are in the perfect place to see your need for a Savior. What you need far more than rescue from financial ruin or emotional distress or natural disasters even, is rescue from sin and from the pride of self-sufficiency. Without Jesus, you are in far more danger than the sailors on that boat. If God has brought you to the point where you realize that you cannot save yourself, then cry out to Jesus. Trust your life and your future and everything to the one who controls the wind and the waves. If you cry out to Jesus, you will find that he provides a peace greater than even an instant hushing of a powerful storm. Jesus died to bring you peace with God. If, through faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God, you do not need to fear anything you may face in this life. God is working in all these things by his love for your good. So are you lost? Cry out to Jesus. Jesus will rescue you. Are you bound in the darkness and suffering of sin? Cry out to Jesus. Jesus will bust you out. Are you sick with sin and its consequences? Cry out to Jesus. Jesus will heal you. He will wash away your sin. Are you realizing that you cannot control your life and that you are in grave danger? Cry out to Jesus. God, through Jesus, can work in even the worst of situations. Jesus can work in even the worst of situations for the good of those who trust in him. Jesus will rescue you from danger and bring you safely home. There's nowhere else to turn. There is no one else who can help. So cry out to Jesus. He will rescue you. Cry out to Jesus and be saved. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that if there's anyone here who knows that they are lost, or that they are in prison, or that they are sick in sin and its consequences, or recognizes that their life is out of control and has not put their faith in Jesus, that they would do that. And Lord, I pray that those of us who know that we were lost, we were imprisoned, we were sick and dying, we were in mortal danger, who have cried to you and seen your salvation, your goodness, your kindness, your love that never ceases, that we would be willing to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us give thanks to you for your unfailing love. Thank you that when we cry to you, you rescue us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.